date of deportation. Actually, it was 30 days we had, 31 days. And God turned it around completely. So we believe for you and stand in faith. It's a pressure. It is a pressure. Okay, this morning, I want to lay something out, and then I want you to participate for the next 2 weeks and to do something so that we can move through this series together. We're dealing with approaching the throne of God, and we're dealing with it in the realm of the spirit world. We're taking time to move through some things that I believe church is going to face, we're going to go through in the weeks and days and or months and whatever years ahead in the will of the Lord, as God spares us. But let me just open up with you first of all this morning, approaching God's throne. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. That is very important. That's why I keep this up. It's very important that you come with a confidence of who you are in Christ. Very important. If you start to, your confidence level starts to be affected, you'll find that the enemy begins to just bombard you with this and you're not good enough, etc., etc. You have to stay firm. The same sun that bakes the clay melts the ice. You get both sides of life when it comes to the spirit world. Sometimes you feel, praise God, I'm in victory. Other times you feel, will I ever make it? That goes on. That's all part, but that's what creates the stability in us as the house of God. Out of character, out of harmony with one's personal character or disposition, when you are in spiritual warfare or a spiritual arena where the enemy is coming against you, people do things that are out of character. It's not really who they are. The enemy has played a game. He has come alongside, or he has got ahead of them, waiting for them for something, and a lot of things happen. But we'll look at that in a different realm. Just let's go ahead. Kingdoms in conflict. Kingdom of God and the world. So I want to open this up with you. The essentials, as pastors mentioned, unity. And what we're looking at, we must keep unity. Unity of the faith. Unity as we walk together, unity and with each other, we walk together in unity, which then brings us into the non-essentials. When it's something that we don't agree with, which has not got an eternal value to it, leave it alone. Keep a freedom. Don't fall out. Don't leave us. Stay put. Oh, I don't agree with that guy, Barry White. Where did Pastor Dunphy ever find that guy? Well, I'm not such a bad guy, really. I'm not. Keep in freedom. Keep it in freedom. Learn to walk together. I have ministered over the years. We're minister pastors. We believe certain things. I found it hard to work through. We kept a freedom. We kept a freedom. And we walk together. And we believe God together. Also, in everything is love. Love one another. Love is a command, not a request, that we love one another. So, it all starts with an attitude problem. Now, why have I put this up? Well, let me just open it up for you, and then I'll mention to you what I'd like you to do. It is not unbelief that is the snare of today's society. Now, some of you may argue with that. From 1 and 2 Thessalonians, say, Barry, that's not true. That's not what the Bible says. But watch what the Bible says. It's not an unbelief problem. Oh, they don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe. But they believe. It's not unbelief. Watch it a moment, okay? Now, are you still with me? It is faith. That's where the problem lies. Not in unbelief. That's why I put it in bold. We looked at the Western world, what they believe. The last few weeks, what do they believe? Scientifically, it'll all get solved. We don't need God. We don't need anything to do with God. There is no God, etc., etc. What's involved in that? Let's look at it. 2 Thessalonians, New Living Translation. I'm going to use two different translations here. This is a New Living Translation. 2 Thessalonians 2:10. He will use every kind of evil deception to fool those on their way to destruction because they refuse to love and accept the truth that would save them. So in Thessalonians, watch how it opens up. Now watch the next verse. I'm taking it from the NIV. So most of you use the NIV. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11 says, "For this reason God sends them a powerful delusion." A powerful delusion is sent. Now, the reason God sends this is for a reason. So that they will believe the lie. Now, in looking at this, a lot of people over the years, in my experience of ministry over many years, people get caught up in spiritual things that they cannot examine scripturally. And that's dangerous. A very good friend of mine, many, many years ago, and I have tried to talk to him over the years, got caught up with something. It wrecked his ministry, his life, and his home. I have the privilege, permission to share that. He said, "I don't believe that anymore, Barry." Really? And I listened to this man preach one particular night. We were in America. And I listened. It was powerful. I watched men, broken men get up out of their seats, go up and get saved and get healed. And walked away from it. He walked away from it. You better take heed, Barry. Take heed, lest you fall. I'm speaking to me. You got to be very careful in the spirit realm. How you handle things. Now watch this. The definition of to believe is to accept as true, genuine, or real. The world today believes that they have the answer scientifically to everything. The whole atheistic attitude that's in government and the world today is very concerning, put it that way. But they believe they have the answer. So right, what's happened with climate change or pandemics or whatever, I have yet to hear a government that has called a national day of prayer for the church to come and cry out to God and plead with God to come and meet with us. I'm talking about the Christian government. I haven't heard it yet. That's the shift we are presently observing. That is the realm of the shift. It's pretty big. Okay, in 1 Samuel chapter 15 is a key event in the life of a man called Saul. The reason I put in 1 Samuel 15, I would like you to do something over the next 2 weeks, okay? We're a family. I'd like you to read the book of 1 Samuel. You need to read the whole book to be able to understand what I'm going to present to you. Because after this chapter, this man Saul, who was king, pastor, he never won another battle. Now, what would have happened in the life of this man that God says, "That's it. That's it. It's over." Never won another battle. The rest of what things that'll happen, I'll open them up with you. As you read the chapter over the next couple of weeks, the book over the next couple of weeks will open something up. Now, here's what I'd like you to do when you read the book. Maybe you want to get a pen and paper. What did Saul say? And what did Saul do? Whenever something happened, he was asked to do something. What did Saul say? When he was asked to do something, what did Saul do? Just go through the book. Get a sheet of paper, pencil, pen, whatever, and just say, "Oh, he was asked to do this, but he did this. He was asked to do this, he did this." The reason I'm doing for it, here are some of the points. This was just part of a series of events in Saul's life that had brought about such destruction and loss. It was just a series. This was just a part of things. A number of things happened. Let me look at some of them with you here. The first one is this. If you read the book, I'm helping you here. So you can come up with some other ones to help me, all right? He wanted to free himself completely from God's law and live supreme. You read it. Now that's dangerous. The day I become a law to myself here, I'm in trouble. The day I try to separate myself from God's law and live supreme and I'm above everything else, that is a recipe or a prescription for trouble. In Saul's life, he wanted to free himself. He wanted to be free of anybody telling him what to do, how to do it, when to do it, when to do it. He wanted to be free. Now, it wasn't just him and God, because I'm going to show you something, not today, but I'm going to show you something about it. God wasn't involved in it when he was looking to do something. He specifically did something that opposed God's law. In the spirit world, you want God to move on your behalf in your prayers. The first part of any man's prayer life is, or woman, is to be in right relationship with God. 1st, 2nd Peter, James, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, and on and on and on and on. Right relationship. Not your faults, not your mistakes. That's got nothing to do with it. I made all kinds of mistakes, and God still answered my prayers. And I know you have done the same. I said, Lord, forgive me. I got that completely wrong. And the Lord graciously, he never says, yes, you did, boy. That was pathetic. You're ridiculous. God never says that. Some of the things I've done, crazy. Looking back, hindsight's always 20/20. I didn't know that when I was doing it. I just kept moving forward. And I should have taken wider advice and a wider perspective. At that time, I didn't do it. It doesn't pay to free yourself. Secondly, to follow his own bent. Now, I did this purposely. I bent the word, the name bent. And natural impulse. He followed his own bent and natural impulse. The definition of to be bent is to modify the rules to suit oneself. You can make the Bible say anything. That's why you have so many different types of religions, so many of this. You go to the Muslim world, the Hindu world, they all go back, Hindu to Abraham. Muslim world, Abraham, man. Abraham, he is the man. You know, in Afghanistan today, I think there's a big part of Abraham's life that's somewhat missing in their judgment. You can make the Bible say it. This book took 1,642 years to put together from Genesis to Revelation, and it doesn't contradict itself. It doesn't. Oh, but this says this. No, you follow through the, what's called the context. And then out of the context, you find how it fits into history and where it happened historically and how it was approached were from different venues and avenues, but it was still the same God. Especially the book of Ecclesiastes confuses everybody. Goes out and live your life, do what you want. Solomon was going through a particular time in his life. He was told not to multiply horses, don't multiply wives, and don't multiply gold. He did all three. There's a bent come into Solomon's life, but the bent that came into Saul's life destroyed him. What do I mean by this? Do you modify things to suit yourself? Oh, nobody's going to tell me. I plead with you, don't do that. Prayer meeting, be in the house of God. Be in prayer. Be with God's people. Be around God's people. I learned that in Africa. It was wonderful. Prayer meetings, crying out to God. Just be around it. It keeps the enemy from you. Don't try to modify the rules. If God says something, do it. But we'll look at disobedience separately from all of us. Okay. He forced his own conscience and acted against inward warnings. He acted against. I'll take it. I don't know how long this has been here, but I'll take it. He acted against inward warnings. Now, don't raise your hands. But many of you have ever done that. Don't raise your hand. I've done it. I forced my conscience. I said, oh, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. And I acted against my inward warning. I said, but there's something about all of this particular individual Matter of fact, it was in my mind coming down today. There's something not right. Then I discovered months later, he was borrowing thousands and thousands of pounds from members of the congregation behind my back. I had an inward warning. I knew something wasn't right. You know, when you're in right relationship with the Holy Spirit, you'll get these warnings. You'll get those warnings. You'll get these warnings, you'll get these leadings, you'll get instruction, etc. It'll all start happening without you doing anything. It'll all start to come together. You're a church. You are the body of Christ. 1 Peter, we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We are a temple. This man forced his own conscience and acted against inward warnings. That's why I encourage you. 1 Samuel, read it through. Okay, man, you're going to do it. Write it out. Good man. Don't do that. Don't work against yourself. This is not in the Bible what I'm going to quote, but it's from Shakespeare. To thine own self be true, and every man a liar. To thine own self be true. If you're walking in right relationship with God, let me tell you something, the devil is not going to deceive you. He's not, because you'll have an inward warning. And that inward warning, actual fact, it's a powerful study on its own. How you are protected from the works of hell. And you will then not knock on the door of hell to find an answer. This man eventually did. Ended up with a witch in Endor. He prophesied. We'll look at that separately. How could a man who prophesied, moving God, end up with knocking the door of a witch? Leave the demon possession thing. Leave that a minute, okay? Don't worry. Relax, 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 relax. Let's watch this. He resisted the Spirit of God. You can do this in three ways. Refuse to spend time in the Scriptures. Refuse to take the instruction of the Scriptures. And refuse to take the direction of the Scriptures. Now, this is a word-based church. Maranatha. There's the Word of God here. That's essential. He resisted the Spirit of God. After 1 Samuel chapter 15, Saul never won another battle. Maybe you're in a battle this morning. Maybe you have been in battles. Maybe you're asking God, why am I not victorious? Well, there's a number of reasons that surround that. But you don't want this one to be number one. You don't want to resist God. Because even when you're fully committed and submitted, you still have to fight the fight. And things still happen. And you'll still have questions. But you know something? Over the years, I've discovered, don't ask those questions anymore. I'm just going to make sure, God, I am right with you. He preferred his own ways to those of the express commands of the prophet. Here is one that's a little bit tender. Let's call it tender. You've received a prophetic word from God. And many of you have received a word in your lifetime from God. Just raise your hand, please. Come on. Very important. This will come up in the book of 1 Samuel. Samuel himself, I think it's by chapter 3, it says, he let none of his words fall to the ground. None of his words fall. That's a very powerful verse. The prophetic ministry, the work of the prophet, that's why the Bible says not to despise prophesying, not to despise a prophet, because of what's carried. When it's a true prophet, it has been judged, his ministry is submitted, etc. And there's a biblical content. We heard it from Ephesians this morning when opening and regarding the table of the Lord. When it's done proper, there is a prophetic voice that can change your life. It changed mine. My life totally changed on April the 19th, 1979. Prophetic voice over my life. Mel Davis, George Evans, Leonard Fox, Earl Bradley, four prophets ministered over my life. They read my life to me. One of the prophets read to me, and this was on the, I think it was the Monday, but he read to me exactly what God spoke to me on the Wednesday before. I told no one. I froze. I was kneeling. I froze. I carried that very close to my life. I examined it. I studied it as I do. I said, God, you've spoken to me. I said, you clearly spoke to me last Wednesday. And these four men have literally just put the capstone on top of this. This is you. Now, once that happens, okay, now listen to me, church. God is not responsible from then on. You are. You're responsible to walk with God in a right relationship with Him. For the word of the prophet to come to pass, to be performed, to be fulfilled. You ready for this word? Sister Pam, executed. You ever hear that with prophecy? Being executed. In other words, you die with it. That's biblical. This man prophesied, Saul. Prophesied God. He prophesied with the prophets. But he wouldn't submit himself to being with the prophets. He just wanted the ministry of it. He just wanted to function in something. That's devastating. Devastating. If you've received a word from God, and God has spoken to you, here is my advice. Get before God. Say, Lord, I know you've spoken. Biblically, confirmed by the mouth of two or three witnesses, it has been judged. Lord, forgive me. I have let your words fall to the ground. That's what happened in this man's life. I don't want to be there. It's not a very happy morning, is it? We're not really jumping up and down here. But I really believe God clearly laid this out with me regarding the spirit world. We want to see God move in Maranatha. Okay, let me just close and I'll pray with you. What type of church moves in the presence and power and dignity of the word, in unity and in freedom and in love? A church that doesn't do these things. A church that decides, God, you're in control. Maybe this morning you've battled in these areas, okay? Maybe you've battled. Let's stand. I'm going to pray with you. I'll anoint the pastor on behalf of the church. I'm going to ask the Lord then to speak to us. Maybe you're struggling in some of these areas. I want to ask right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, the body of Christ here this morning, make things right. Make things right with God. I don't want to be like Saul. Lord Jesus, we have come, in one sense, into holy ground. Not that the building represents an eternal value, but it represents the gathering of those who carry the eternal work of Christ. That's the church. That's where we are. Lord Jesus, I pray right now. I pray for your people. Amen. Many of you are raising your hands. That's okay. Go ahead. Raise your hands. I'll pray with you. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray you help these people come back into right relationship, come back into order, and come back into a place of strength and stability regarding the word of God. I bind the work of the enemy across your life. I bind these things we have looked at this morning from entering into your spiritual walk with your God. I speak life, wholeness, and healing. May you be blessed this week. May you walk in strength. And may you know that anointing of his grace and of his goodness resting upon you. I speak it over you. Now just take a 30 seconds or 1 minute here of complete silence a moment. Just take 1 minute. Let God do his work. Lord Jesus, thank you for the gathering of your people. May they prosper, be blessed, and find your destiny in Christ Jesus. Amen. Pastor.